Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a great day to be in the Lord's house. It's always a good time and good day to be in the Lord's house. So good to be with you folks and see your bright, shiny faces and know that you're here to give thanks to the Lord for his gratefulness to for his great things he has done for us and so forth. And you know, it's good when you look out and see all you folks and you know that one of the things that you're here for is to be grateful to God. And an atheist, it must be a hard thing for an atheist, you know, when they have something to be grateful for and nobody to thank for it, you know. But you're here this morning to thank the God who is so grateful to us and so gracious to us, and he has been and is and he will be. And so let us just praise him together. Before we begin, I'll share with you a few verses here from Psalms 10. It reads like this. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in their devices and that they have imagined. For the wicked boasted of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous who the Lord orbeth. The wicked, though through the pride of his contentance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. His ways are always grievous, and judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said to in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, deceit and fraud under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places, in the village, in the secret places, doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privately to set against the poor. He liveth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him in his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contend God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief in spite of the request of thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. He is our God. He is our helper. And he helps us day by day. Let's praise him for it.
for hymn of worship this morning, number 183, sing first and third verse, and Benny will have the first.
What a wonderful, wonderful day, today I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelled in the joy I tell, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I'm alone that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure. There
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity to come together once again as a church family. Heavenly Father, we want to use this time to just praise you and honor you, to thank you, dear God, for your goodness in this past week, the provisions you have provided so generously, loving care that you have shown to us, Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, for your willingness and his willingness to leave the glory of heaven and come and die in our stead. So thankful for that, dear God. So thankful that even now, as we live in this dangerous world, with tornadoes, floods, and fires, that not only destroy property, but take many lives, might Heavenly Father, that they know you, and Heavenly Father, might they be blessed by you. And even those that are suffering the losses of loved ones and property that we see in various states through the tornadic things and the acts of nature, we pray for them, Heavenly Father, that you will bless them and help them, Heavenly Father. But we know, Heavenly Father, that things in this life is not what you'd really desire for us to have. Man has messed it up. But we have a great hope in Christ, and we have a great faith that, Heavenly Father, you will see us through this coming week, even as you blessed us in this last week and the weeks before. So we look forward, Heavenly Father, and we rejoice this day. And not only do we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the things that's been in our past and our life, but we thank you for the things that we're going to experience today and tomorrow until the Lord comes. And it is in his name we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name,
amen. Now for our communion hymn, we want to use number 215. Sing the first and last verse.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
I'll be reading from Mark 14:22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I will drink no more of this wine, as of that day I drank it in you in the kingdom of God." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege we have together here to partake of Holy Communion. As we partake of these elements, help us to remember the bread represents Jesus' broken body, and the juice represents his blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We come now and ask for that forgiveness when we fail you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, once again, we're thankful for the opportunity to be back in that house. As we bring back a portion of the new message, bless the gift and the giver. We pray to be used for a better than thy kingdom. We ask you to be with us in this service. Be it me to bring the morning message. Forgive us when we fail thee. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
A couple of things to share with you this morning. Encourage you with, hopefully. Once again, it's good to see each and every one here this morning. February is bringing in like March weather. You don't know what's going to be, but today's a good day, and we're glad of that. Glad that you're here, and glad to have the two young people with us here. Samantha's here with us, and then here's our buddy Ryan there with us this morning. So glad to have you young people here with us, and God bless you. Okay, choir practice, and then Bible study. We'll go for Bible study tonight at 4 o'clock, and hopefully that the weather stays good. Last week it turned bad, so it was a good decision made by Dudo there as we dismissed. Because on our way home, about the middle afternoon, we were on our way home. There was 5 accidents on the highway from here to our house. And so it wasn't a very good evening, and it got worse as it went on. So sometimes weather will prevent us to do what we want to do. Today, the sun is shining, we hope to stay there. No birthdays today. So that's good. Nobody's getting older. It makes us think we're in heaven. That's what's going to happen in heaven. We'll not get old. A couple guys in discussion, a lot of people speculate how old you're going to be when we get in heaven. How old is people going to be and such? And then there's a big thing, you know, and the ladies kind of get upset if you say this, you know, there's not going to be any babies in heaven. And, of course, I believe that. I don't believe there'll be a baby in heaven. They'll be grown. I mean, who would want to spend eternity and with your child as a baby for eternity? I think we'll all be at the same age, you know. So we'll never grow old. We know that. There's speculation that we'll all be the same age as Jesus was when he left. But it doesn't make any difference how old we're going to be. We'll never grow old, and we'll never be weak, and we'll never be sick. We'll just enjoy things great there. So stay young. Stay young. I was, for the message, I was looking at for some things and started doing some research and such, and it had to do with nations and, you know, America and Japan and all the others, because we were talking about a little bit about that. But, Omar, we're doing okay, because, America, the age is 78. You know, if you reach 78.7, well, you're doing good. So we're ahead of that. But Japan has the oldest, and that's 84. And so we're ahead of them, man. We're getting there. So just hang on, and it'll be good. God bless you. So great. All right, let's see. And also, Kathleen is for sure, Hemsing will be at Corinth.
Okay.
Yeah, they've throwed that thing around, and somebody, I think Maxine said, has been on Facebook. It's going to have been everywhere and so forth, and nobody knows where it's going and coming. But it's going to be at Corinth. Yes. I noticed Sadieville's got something big going on that day, so I don't know whether they're going to be able to part of MC again or not, but they've got a big day going. I forget what all that's going to
have a meal after church. Huh?
Have a what?
I think they can have a dinner or something right after church service.
Yeah, but it's something else, you know, a special thing of some kind or another is set for that day. Okay, we look forward to that. Anything else happening we want to share with one another? Okay, look around and see who's not here. And I don't know, you hear from Ron and them the last day or so, you didn't say. Ron usually lets us know if they're going to be out. I hope they're not sick. They're real faithful to this, like you folks are usually always here. We appreciate that. Oh, yeah, and so that moves us then over to our prayer list. And
I was just going to say Daniel is sick. He's been off sick since Wednesday, and he doesn't have the flu, but he...
Who has?
Daniel.
Oh, okay. He's not here. Okay. All right. On the prayer list, did you have any address for Sickle?
I don't know. I don't know where I went with it.
Okay. All right. So I got some information from some of you folks. I try to ask you about who you're attached with here. And so everybody's doing pretty good. So this week I tried to run down some of them, and one of them was Gary Sickle. And so I tried two or three different ways of getting hold of him. And of course, his wife, Jenna, teaches school. And I put a note at the school there. So then I never got a word back from that. And so I called the funeral home up there in Kingstown, Indiana. Because, you know, the funeral homes knows the preachers, knows who the preachers are there around. And so he gave me a phone number, and he said, I hope this is good. So I called that phone number, and it was a church answering machine picked it up. So I left a message on that Friday, so I never got no answer back. So I don't know how it's done, but I'm going to get a hold of him some way or another and find out. So you just have to go all kinds of routes to find out about these people, But I appreciate you people that will tell me about what's going on, and I'll be glad to share then with our folks. And again, I say that for another reason, is because we want to pray for particular things. Donna, you're going tomorrow to get be checked out on your shoulder, so we're going to pray that that's going to work out, that things will work out good for that. See? So Donna don't know exactly what they're going to diagnose for her shoulder, so we just pray that something really good will happen. We're so thankful that Dudo, and boy, has been relieved of his hip pain and so forth. That's been a blessing to him. And so we just look around and see what God is doing. And so that's why we want to pray for those particular things, those things that's happening in people's lives. It's all right. You can pray for, you want to put an umbrella out there and pray it's an umbrella. But I think it's better when we know and we can say, Lord, we know that. You know, as Dudo was suffering at that hip, we know he did that for a long time, and he was looking for some answers for it, and we kept praying together that he'd find it, and praise God, he found it. And so the same way with other people. So be very mindful of what's going on and share one with another so that we'll all know what's going on, okay? We know God will do good things, and God will bless him, but God wants to know what your heart and your mind also. So as we look at the prayer list, everybody's seems to be about the same. We haven't got...
My great-granddaughter has got the flu. And Terry Elders fell the other day, and he fell on his face and hurt his nose, and we don't know what kind of shape he's in. He wasn't at choir practice Wednesday night, so we don't know how he's doing.
Okay. And, of course, we know of all the tornadoes and stuff that's taking place and all the destruction. Boy, a terrible destruction of people and people's lives. And so,
Vernon's not here today either.
I was going to ask Dudo if he had heard from him. But, you know, he's been really doing good. And so he was real serious. And he's been doing real good. And we hope he's not got a backlash there. All right. Okay, so we come to our prayer time. Keep all these people in your mind. Keep the things in the world and all those folks who are suffering, you know, the terrible, terrible things. We've seen, my brother was in a tornado over in Indiana years ago, and we saw the destruction, all of our whole subdivision wiped out and so forth. And so you think about these people that's going through that and lost their loved ones and so forth. It's a terrible thing and terrible hard work. So let's keep them in our prayers, our nation, our leaders and so forth, those people in the care homes and the caregivers and so forth. Just pray, you know, take time. We sing the song, take time to be holy, but take time to pray for these people and their needs. And so this morning, as we come together to pray for them, God's listening.
For our prayer hymn, I'm going to use number 250, sing the first and last verse, and I'll have the prayer associated.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, now I trust Him, now I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, pray. Jesus, our Lord, grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, Thou I trust Him, Thou I
Heaven, we thank You again for the opportunity You granted us together in Your house on the Lord's Day. Thank You now be with the ones on the prayer list here. Comfort and restore them back to their normal health again. The ones that lost loved ones, be with us now. Guide and direct us. Save us in the end. Our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The invitation hymn will be number 312. And this time the choir brings it.
Leads me closer home.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Very pretty. Thank you. Beautiful hymn. You do it so well. Thank you so very much. Something about ages. You noticed probably last day or two they celebrated this lady's birthday, 116 years old. I think it was in Japan, was it? Japan lady. And 116, she's now the oldest recorded in the record books. 116 years of age. And they asked her, I think they said they asked her what was the most exciting thing in her life or something of that nature. And she said, right now. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Didn't get close? Okay. I want to speak to you a little while this morning on a subject here. And thank you, Donna, for getting my changeover in there. I hated to do that, but it's so much about obedience. And I thought after I had my title, I thought I have to have obedience in there because that's really what it's all about. And so bear with me as I read the first few verses here, Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, and the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of the cattle, the increase of the kine, and the flocks and the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee from before thee in seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in the storehouse and in all that thou settest in thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord, the God, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see, and thou art called of the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous of goods in the fruit of the body, the fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of the ground, and the land which the Lord sweareth unto the fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures in the heaven, and give thee rain unto the land of the season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations that thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do, and thou shalt go aside from And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand and to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. As we've said before, Moses now knows that his days are numbered. He's about to be taken to the Lord. And the Israelites are camped just over the waters from the promised land. And Moses is getting them or equipping them to be able to do then what God wants them to do when they get there. And this chapter has two sermons in it, but the whole book is a sermon almost from him. The first 14 verses we just read together there is telling them they're going to be blessed if they are obedient to God, do his commands. The rest of the verses, there are about 40 more verses in there, that is going to deal with the curse. And you'd almost wonder, wouldn't you, he spent much more time talking about the curse that was going to come upon the people if they didn't obey than he did obeying. And I think it's because Moses knows the people. And God knows the people. And he knows that they're just not going to obey all things. And so he goes to great length and uses more time to instill in them the disobedience will bring the curse of God upon them. We're not going to deal with the curse. We're just going to deal with the first 14 verses here this morning and see the blessings. And so as we see, we got the title Blessed, Blessed by Obedience. And story goes of a recent licensed pilot was flying this plane, a private plane, in a cloudy day. And he was not very experienced with the instruments and landing and so forth. And when a control tower was to bring him in, he began to get kind of panic. And then the stern voice come over the radio and told the young man, said, "You just obey what we tell you, and you obey the instructions, and we'll take care of the obstacles." And that's what kind of God is telling us in our life. And that's what he's telling the Israelites. If you will obey the instructions, he'll take care of the obstacles that comes in life. Now, this is not written to us. Most of the Bible, and practically all the Bible, is not written to us. This is written to Israel. And so when we talk about the things of Israel here, God is instructing Israel to do this and this. But as Paul says, it's for our admonition. And so we can study this, how God deals with them, what he tells them to do, and the results of what's going to take place. And again, I say that's just for Israel now. But by looking at what God's telling them, what God's doing for them, and so forth, we can then see somewhat of how God deals with us. And so it has all to do with obedience. All to do with obedience. Moses is telling Israel, you just obey God, God's instructions, and he'll take care of all the obstacles that will come to you in your life. That's what he's telling Israel. And I think it's fair to say that we serve that same God. And I think it's fair to say if we'll listen to what he's telling Israel, that might have some application to us. Even though he's not speaking to us personally, but I think we can personally get some admonition from that. Verse 15, he says, Israel, today, if you'll listen, he says. And I'm giving you the laws and the teaching of the Lord your God, and if you don't obey them, though, he says in verse 15, then this curse is going to come upon you. But the first 14 verses is the thing that we want to look at. God did promise Abraham that there's a land that you're going to inherit, your heirs will go. He promised them the Canaan land, the land overflowing with milk and honey. even though Abraham did not, he was there, but he didn't enjoy now with these folks, but he was there. He promised that his descendants would have that land. Now the new covenant that we live under, and the new covenant he actually made with the younger Israelites, does not rule out the obedience. What it took for the Israelites to go into the Canaan land and enjoy the blessings of God, it takes that similar thing for you and I. Obedience. Obedience. The right relationship to God always has been and always will be obedience. Need for obedience. In fact, it supplies the strength to live the way that we should live. If we're obedient, God will bless our lives and help us through the things that we are faced with. Heaven certainly will be a place of complete obedience. We don't obey as we should here. And there's a lot of disobedience. And we suffer because of our disobedience. And we suffer because of other people's disobedience. But when we get to heaven, there will be no disobedience. It'll be all obedience, a glorious thing when we get there. The right relationship with God is always obedience. Verse 1 and 2, I guess we better say. He began by looking at Moses saying, I will remind you of the laws and the teaching. That's what he says. And I shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord and observe all the commandments. And what he said, I'm going to remind you. Now he's reminding them of what was given at Sinai. And also there's a covenant since then also. So those are all put together. And he said, I'm reminding you of the statutes of God. And if you'll listen, hear these and do them, you'll be blessed here. I'll remind you of the laws and the teaching of the Lord your God. Always obey them, he says to them. Always obey them, and the Lord will make Israel the most famous and important nation on the earth. And he will bless you in many ways. As I was studying for that, I thought, I wonder how America stands now. And some of you all follow the political line and so forth, and I don't do that. But anyhow, I wanted to know a little bit more about where we stand as a nation. He's telling Israel here, he said, now if you will go and do this and this, I'll make you to be a great nation above all other nations. And so I looked, and there's several places you can find and research those things. And I went to the World News for this and went for the top 10 nations. And I wanted to see where we're at as Americans in there. And praise God, we now are still acknowledged as the most powerful nation. Russia is second. We have the greatest military than any others. We're not the richest, though. We're not the richest. We're 10 down the list. In the richest of 25, yeah. As I looked at 25 of the richest, well, we're 10. And that, we're way down there. And I really don't know why we're there, you know, as God has blessed this nation and blessed his people and so forth. And as also on down in this verse, it says, you know, that you will lend and not borrow. I cannot figure out why America is in debt. America should never, ever have been in debt. We should have been as Israel. We have been blessed. I think it's very fair, and I think you agree with it, that America has been blessed more than any nation in the world. And so we should have been there. So it's very interesting to, as I read a lot of stuff about the nations, the first 10, and who's as powerful, and boy, and some of them that's got great equipment and nuclear stuff, and China is a great exporter to and so forth. Every place you go in the stores you see made in China and so forth. And so they have a great economy and so forth. But you know, I noticed a lot of the nations, we talk about poor nations and so forth, but most of them are fairly rich nations. You know, I mean, you got to get down the line pretty far before you start falling off into to poor nations, so to speak. And it's great. So I really enjoyed studying over them and seeing what it is. As I was reading it, God said, look, he's telling Israel, I'm going to make you the head nation. The head nation. And that's what we ought to be. As God's people and as a nation, America, we should be the top nation. We should be there. And so he said, I'll make you the famous and important nation on earth, and he will bless you in many ways. Now, that's what Moses is telling the Israelites. He says, this is what God's going to do for you. This is what God's going to do. He said, you be obedient to God, and the other nation's going to be looking up to you. And you're going to be blessed and blessed and blessed. If thou shalt hearken, he says, hearken, the word here. That word hearken simply says obey, obey. If you will obey, and then that word diligently has something to do. That stresses the need to have complete obedience. You know, complete obedience. You say, well, that's hard to do, isn't it? You know, and we fail, don't we, of being complete obedience. But that's what that diligently word means. If Moses said, now, if you will obey, if you will listen and obey, and if you will diligently do, God will bless you here. So he want for Israel now, speaking to Israel, Moses saying, Israel, God demands complete obedience. Now you know what we could say about that. And I think our people, as a church and as a people, God demands complete obedience of his people, as he does here with Israel. And we worship him. The people could not legally or personally merit God's goodness and blessings, but their constant desire to obey. If we constantly desire to obey God, it certainly will be evidence of our faith in him and our love for him. He says here, hi. Notice God said, if Israel would obey him, he will bless them and give them superior over other nations of the world. He would make Israel an important nation. You will be blessed, he says here in this passage. And all these blessings shall come upon you. This is what God is going to do for you and with you and to you. This sounds somewhat about what Matthew says, in Matthew, Jesus says about the Beatitudes, doesn't it? That describes us a little bit plainer than what we're talking about here. The Beatitudes is, I think, applicable to us, that he will bless us. If we have mercy, he will receive mercy, and so forth on down the line. And so Christians should believe that God will bless them. I believe if Christians would believe that God would bless them, if they were obedient, they would be more obedient. But you know, the sad thing is there's a lot of people who don't think God will bless them. And they do that on the fact that they have guilt in their lives. But the thing to do is get rid of guilt and then be obedient. You'll be blessed. Just can't get around it. So Christians ought to. You know, I use the word a lot of times, anticipate. When we pray for somebody, we anticipate things to happen. I think possibly sometimes we pray for some things we might say we ought to expect it to happen. I hope that you get that in the right sense. Not that we can demand anything from God, But if we're serving obedient to God, and He has promised us these blessings, why not expect them? You don't get them because you don't expect them. Well, nothing's going to happen good today. Get up expecting good things to happen. Yay? So Christians ought to believe that God will bless them. Look what he says. The Lord will make your business profitable. Your farms will be successful. By their obedience, God would give the victory. They would prosper in all things and all ways. They would live in abundance. They would have the respect of other nations. Now, I'm not trying to come off as a prosperity preacher at all. But I think right there, isn't he telling Israel, if you'll be obedient, you're going to prosper. Your lands are going to produce. Your business will do good. Just look at all he says here in this verse. He talks about here. You're going in and coming out. What does that mean? That means your everyday activities. I'm going to bless. He says, now Israel, look. God is going to bless you in all that you do, in your daily activities. In your school, in your school work, in your school activities, in your work at the factory or wherever it might be. They're going to do good. He'll bless you in those things. In all your activities, as you going out and coming in. And that's what that means, in all the activities in your life. Whatever you're participating in, whatever's you're active in your life, He'll bless that. He'll bless that. Isn't that wonderful to know that God, if you'll be obedient to God, you can get up and go out and you're going to be blessed today. You know, it would be a sad thing to sit down at night and say, well, I didn't receive a blessing at all today. But how great it is it that, you know, you can go home and you can sit down and just say, boy, God has really blessed us today. Really, God has really blessed us today. And they're going out and you're coming in all your activities, he said. Tells Israel, if you'll be obedient, you'll be blessed there. You have many children. Whoa. Maybe some people don't want it. I hope this is an appropriate story to tell. I don't mean anything out of the way or nothing, but this family, there was about 20-some children, and they were growing up, and they said they were all gathered around one day, and they were pretty well growing up, and they said, you know how the young people's got everything today, you know, and what they do, and they said, I wonder what mom and dad did for entertainment when they was young. You will be blessed with many children. Isn't that great? You will harvest large crops. Jesus talked about sowing the wheat and getting 100-fold. Jesus tells about the man's fields bringing in such a crop that his barns would know. But you sure need to take a lesson from him and don't tear down your barns. Jesus emphasized the fact, you know, that they're going to produce, you're going to have plenty, and you're going to have some to share with others. Look at something. You'll have plenty of bread to eat. Nobody's going to go hungry. Nobody's going to go hungry, he says. The Lord will make you successful in all aspects of your life. And that's great, isn't it? You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to be like some, you know, just greeting for everything you can get and so forth. But in your daily lives, in your daily work and so forth, God is going to bless you. I'm just so thankful that we're blessed as we are, aren't you? You know, I mean, I'm so glad for my neighbor having good things and so forth. And I'm glad that people, there are millionaires and such and so forth. But I don't, what do you call it? I don't wish to have what they have, but I'm glad they have what they have. I'm glad to have what I have. I'm glad to have a family that's done quite well and been quite blessed and are quite well, and we live in a comfortable home. And you know, I get up in the mornings, and when I'm in my prayers, I say, boy, Lord, I thank you for a comfortable night's sleep, you know. And I'm thinking about those people that are sleeping in cardboard boxes. And I'm thinking, you know, and I get up to the heat of the furnace, you know, and there's people out in the cold freezing. And you read about young people and old people alike, especially some old people that they're sleeping in a cardboard box and have no shelter, really, and they freeze to death. So I think, boy, Lord, I'm so thankful. I thank you for blessing me with a good, comfortable home. And even half the time now, I guess Maxine said, well, you're around here, you just cook your own breakfast. But half the time I cook my own breakfast, you know. more times than not anymore. I don't know, she goes, hides away, you know, for some reason or another. We get up and come in, and either I beat her and I make the coffee, or she beats me and she makes the coffee, and we drink a cup of coffee, and she disappears. And I keep thinking, well, where's breakfast coming? And I finally realize if you're going to have breakfast, you got to have it yourself. Make it yourself. But that's great. That's all right. And but when I sit down, I think, you know, how great it is to live comfortably and to have too much to eat. And I say that, too much to eat, you know. And I think about the people that don't have enough to eat. And I don't know, I don't know all the answers for all that, but only thing I do know, I can say, Lord God, I'm so thankful to have what I have. You be blessed. So our refrigerator's always got food in it. And so we're blessed. He says that your cupboards, you know, won't be empty. Your storehouse where you keep your, some of you have pantry rooms. I like the old pantries they used to have that some of you folks might have them. And some of the newer houses now have been going back to putting pantry. You have a pantry? Okay, that's nice, you know. I remember those pantries, and you could just walk in there and the shelves around and all kinds of stuff in there, good stuff to eat. We used to go to James Leach's house when his mother and father, they'd go to shopping on Saturday afternoon, and James and I'd go up to his house, and we'd go in our pantry, and we'd get a quart of canned sausage, you know, sneak out of that, you know. You could always go in the pantry and get something. He's saying there's always going to be something in the pantry for you. In fact, he says it's going to be full, doesn't he? It's going to be plenty. Israelites, if you'll just listen and obey, you'll have a full pantry. You won't go hungry. Things are going to, your field's going to yield good. You're going to success in your business. And the Lord will help you defeat your enemies and make them scatter in directions. Isn't that something that, you know, that God just scattered the enemies of Israel that came up against him, up against Israel. God just, they run all ways. What was it? Did they say it at Jericho or one of them that said that they run, I don't know. Okay. But it said they, when they just run after them, overtook them, all kinds of things. God gave them victory. Why? Because they were obeying there. And the Lord your God giving you land and make sure that it'll be successful and everything. Your harvest will be so large, your storehouse will be full. And the Lord will open the storehouse of the skies, and he will keep the rain. Now, there was times that God withheld rain. You remember the old prophet one time said, no more rain. Didn't rain for what, 3 years or so? Something like that. And then finally it did rain. It's just like God could put a bronze cap over the earth and nothing's going to drift down. But if you're obedient, he's just going to open it up. And you'll get rain in due season. The sun will shine. The little old seed that you put in the ground will pop open, produce. Your pantry will be full. Now, Moses assures them, obey the laws, verse 13, I think it is. Where is it? And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou will hearken, there it is, obey, hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, and to observe them, to do them, he says here. And so he's telling them, Israel, that you'll not be poor, you'll not be weak, if you will be obedient to the word of God. Moses tells them, but you must not reject any of the laws. That's what he said. Now, again, remember, he's given them the laws that came with the Ten Commandments and all that was hinged on the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. He's bringing that all. He said, if you obey the laws of God, his teaching, and if you hear and not worship other gods, you will be blessed. When Israel walked, and we talked about that a while back, walked after God, these blessings were real. They came. They were real, very real. I want to show you a couple of places here. Here's what Joshua reads in Joshua 21, verse 43. And this is after the fact, see. Moses has told them they're in the land. And here's what it says. And the Lord gave unto Israel. Moses saying, God's going to give it to you if you'll be obedient. Over in Joshua 21, verse 43 and following, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, Abraham and them. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest, isn't that what he promised them? Round about according to all he swore unto the fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Now look at verse 45. They failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Their obedience then brought them everything that God had promised them. And I think we could insert there that God will bless you and me and the church, America, if we will be obedient to his laws. I want to go on and to 1 Kings chapter 8. And here we have Solomon after dedication of the temple, and he's prayed and so forth. And Solomon says, beginning in verse 54, I believe it is. Let me find it here. All right, here's what he says. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayers, and this was after the dedication of the temple and the prayers door, of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to that he promised. Part of that was just what we read from Deuteronomy. That hath not failed, that hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses the servant. So Solomon goes back and he thanks God, and the people are reminded here that they have what Moses told them God would give them if they had been obedient. The hand of Moses, his servant, the Lord our God, be with us as he was with our fathers. And that's a prayer that we can pray, isn't it? God, as you were with the Israelites, with the fathers, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, be with us. And with our fathers, let not leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, don't forsake us. And I pray all the time, don't you? Oh Lord, don't forsake America. Don't let us be the tail. Keep us always to be the head. Keep us above and not beneath. Now he says, the Lord thy God be with us as he was with the fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. I think that that is great admonition to us today. Folks, as I leave you this morning, I want to say this. The most important issue in your life, you got it, haven't you? The most important issue in your life, right now, is your obedience unto God. Is your obedience to God. Every problem you face in some way relate to this issue. Every solution in your life is ultimately found in obedience to God. Get it? Every solution in your life ultimately is found in obedience to God. There is only one thing God backs up, and that's obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, God said. Obedience is better than religious activities. Obedience opens the resources of heaven that nothing else can or will. Didn't you read? We read in there, I'll open up the heavens and pour down on you. Malachi says you bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that is to support the church and so forth with. He says, I'll open up the heavens. So, I pray that our nation will continue, will gain more obedience to God. I pray that the church will be more obedient to God. I pray that we as individuals will be more obedient to God. And I pray that oftentimes you might turn back to Deuteronomy 28 and read them first 14 verses. And he was talking to Israel. But I think we can get a real message for our lives there. God works with obedience. Have you been obedient to his call, to his commands? Are you obedient to him now? You know, it's very simple. We can repent of our wrongdoings and we can become obedient to God and we can receive and enjoy the blessings he has. Let's stand and sing on the first verse, if you will. So thankful that we have here in the Porter Church so many people that are obedient to God. Your obedience brings blessings upon this church. Your obedience brings blessings upon this community. Your obedience actually will bring blessings upon this world if you continue to stay that way. Might your obedience bring blessings this week that you have never expected. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples that we look into, that you have what you've done for Israel. And Heavenly Father, we know that obedience is the main thing of our lives. We're obedient to your word. You have promised us. And you have shown that you carry out your promises so very well. So Heavenly Father, for this obedient group here that makes up Porter Church, we pray, Heavenly Father, that through their obedience this week, you'll bless them like they've never been blessed before. Keep them safe, Heavenly Father, and grant all good things happen for them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.